We're heading into Christmas. I love Christmas. What did you get me? No, I love Christmas. And I just always have, from a little boy, and when the cold weather began and heading toward the Christmas, I just have loved it. And we're going to do a little series. We started last week on the firstborn, and we're going to do a little series all the way through. And then this year we're having Christmas is on a Sunday this year, and we are so looking forward to Christmas morning. We'll be here. We'll release the small groups. We won't have small groups that morning, but we'll be here together and just have a great time. How many think there's not a better place to be than the house of the Lord on Christmas? It is His birthday. Come on, somebody. Can you imagine thinking that going to church would be an inconvenience on Christmas? Somebody help me out here this morning. It's His birthday. So I can't think of a better place to be than His house. You're invited to His house on His birthday. Everybody say amen. So we're going to do that. And also, kind of in addition this year, we're going to be doing a New Year's Eve service and a New Year's Day service. It'll be on a Sunday also, and we'll have our normal, our service going on New Year's Day. But we're going to do a New Year's Eve service. And what we're going to be doing, we're going to be hosting the movie Courageous. And they've allowed churches to get the movie, even though it's still in theaters, we can have it here. And on New Year's Eve, we're going to have that movie here. And then we're going to talk to you what we're going to do, an outgrowth of that for Wednesday nights from that point on. So mark on your calendars. If you got a party to attend to, you can do that a little bit later. We can do it early on New Year's Eve and have a great time. Won't you look up at the screen? Let's go ahead and begin. I want to talk to you this morning about the firstborn. We began it last week. But it says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found..." Everybody say favor. You know, one of the ways to say that was that, another way to say that is, you're God's favorite. Come on, somebody. Would you look at somebody and say, "I'm God's favorite"? Would you say to somebody, "I am God's favorite"? Come, I dare you to say, "I am God's favorite." One of the ways to say you have found favor, one of the translations says, "You are God's favorite." How many would like to have an angel appear to you and say, "You are God's favorite"? How many know that's true? You are God's favorite. You're favored of the Lord. Well, you're excited about that, but I am. All right. You have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb. And let me tell you, one of the derivatives of the word womb is where we get our English word generator. Anybody, how many in here own a generator? How many in here own a generator? All right, we'll come back to that. If I forget, somebody ask me at the end if I forget to say that. Conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He'll be great, be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end. And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I'm a virgin?" And the angel said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the..." Everybody say power. What does the generator do? All right, you'll see the... "And the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. Behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." Let it be to me according to your... Let it be to me according to what? To your... To your word. And the angel departed from her. Go to the next verse. While they were there, a time came for her to give birth. She gave birth to her, everybody say, firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. And I want to talk to you this morning about it's called the firstborn. This is number two. We did number one last week. But the sermon is the firstborn son of Mary. Let's pray this morning. Father, I ask you this morning if you would open up our understanding that we can receive. And I pray, Lord, a word would go in the generators of people's hearts and be transformed into power. I pray this morning, Lord, that you would speak to lives of men and women, and they would receive from you, Lord, one word from you, Lord, to impregnate them deep on their spirit, Lord, to see the things that you want to do in their lives. And we give you the glory in Jesus' name. Everybody said a good amen. 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 You can be seated this morning. Last week we began the series on the firstborn, and I won't go back over that, but you can do that. We talked about the word first and the word born, and that it meant maybe not what we think it means. First doesn't mean only in timeline or time-wise, but it can mean first in importance. And then we saw the word born, like a little Adeline was this morning. She was literally in existence 9 months long before she was born into the world. So being born does not mean coming into existence, but it means to bring that which was already in existence into another realm. And the Bible speaks of him as the firstborn. And we talked about four different things, and we'll go back over that at a different time, but with each one on a week. But we talked about that he was, number one, the firstborn son of Mary. Everybody say firstborn one more time. Firstborn son of Mary. Why did God choose Mary? Why did God, of all the women of the earth, the Bible says he found one little girl, 15 or 16 years old, as far as we can determine, and said to her, "You're God's favorite one. I have picked you among all the women," and those that heard him and knew what happened, they talk about the favorite of Mary, that God would choose her. And today we live in a culture that has exalted her beyond measure, and yet the Protestants many times demean her because she was the favorite one of God. The angel came and said, "I picked you purposely. You are my favorite." And the Bible says, and so the question is, why did God choose her? And I want you to do this. Each of the Gospels tell about the nativity story. And Matthew and Luke tell it the most. And Mark, written to the Romans in a servant mentality, literally gives no beginning of him. But the one that fascinates me is John. Because John was writing to Christians, and his nativity story is totally different than Luke's, what we just read. Instead of telling the story of the angels and coming to Mary and all that took place, John begins back in eternity. And as I said, the firstborn son of Mary, born doesn't mean he just started. He was already in existence, and he came into another realm like a baby being born. And John goes back way beyond before Bethlehem. And I want you to listen. This is John's nativity story. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh." Here's his nativity story. "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we've seen his glory, the glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." That is his nativity story. He talked about in John 1:1, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God." And in verse 14, "Then the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." That's literally his nativity story. The Word became flesh. It dwelt among us. And John identifies him as the Word. And I submit to you this morning, when God was looking for a favorite one, the one to choose, the one that he chose was not only the normal things we would consider a holy mother, someone that would take good care of his son and all and on. I submit to you this morning, one of the biggest characteristics the Lord was looking for was someone that honored and treasured the Word of God. Because that's what he was. John's nativity story tells us, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, it was God, and the Word became flesh." That's his description of Jesus being born into our realm. He said, literally, it was the Word of God taking on flesh. Because it was, the Word was with God, the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. That was his nativity story. And I submit to you this morning that when God searched the earth for someone to take care of his son, he looked for someone that cared and treasured the Word of God. Let me tell you how important the Word of God is. It says it literally that the Word was with God and it was God. In Luke chapter 1, look at verse 38. And I like what it says. Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be unto me according to your what?" According to your what? Look at verse 45. And this is Elizabeth. "And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." There was a quality when you read about this young woman. Why she the firstborn son of Mary, God's favorite one, was a woman that believed in the word of God. It was someone that believed when God said it, that's it. When God said it, I believe it. She consumed the word. She loved the word of God. And the Bible says Elizabeth looks at her and says, "Blessed is you that you believe what the Lord said to you." There is something about when God chooses you to be a favorite one is someone that believes the word. Mary accepted the word. She was able. And I says, why was she able to do this? Why was she able to believe what the angel said to her? When the angel said, it was tremendous things. I mean, you're going to have a baby. She says, "I've never known a man. How would this be?" And the Bible says the angel looks at her and said, "Listen, let me tell you something. In your womb, listen, something's going to happen to your womb. The power of the Most High is going to overshadow you. And there's going to be produced in you something that's not able to be produced by human effort and human strength. I'm going to do in you something that God is going to do. The Holy Spirit will overshadow." And the Bible says beyond comprehension, beyond mental ability, she just simply said, "I believe your word. I believe what you said. I know it's impossible, but I believe what you said. I don't know how it can happen. I've never known it, but I don't know, but I believe what you said." And your womb, listen, where we get our word generator comes from, where the Greek word for womb, one of the derivatives, it means it was a generator. And a way a generator works is you take one form of energy, you take gas, and you put it inside a generator, and it evolves, and it turns that gasoline into electricity. Is that right? And what it does is it takes something that's one form, puts it in there, and out comes something different. Power comes out of it. And the Bible says the angel comes and tells Mary, the Holy Spirit's going to overpower you. And the power of the Most High is coming upon you. And he's going to speak a word. He's going to put a word in your womb. And out of that word is going to come flesh and blood. Out of that word is going to come a baby. I'll speak a word to you, and you're going to become pregnant simply by the word of God. You believe the word, what God said, and because of that, the power of the Most High is going to flow out of you. Come on, somebody. You're going to believe what I said. It's going to happen in your life. In Luke chapter 2, I believe you'll find a clue to Mary's life, as how she gave her the ability to believe. In Luke chapter 2, look at verse 41. "Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And they fulfilled the days. They returned. The child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and Mary didn't know about it. And they supposing him to have been in the company." Listen, never suppose Jesus is with you. Come on, somebody. This Christmas season, you ought to make sure Jesus is in your company. You ought not to just go through life and just suppose because you go to church, Jesus is with you. Come on, somebody. You need to know he's with you. You need to know you've got eternal life. If anybody ever asks you, "Are you saved?" And you say, "Well, right then and there, that tells me a volume. You've already told me you're not." Come on, somebody. They supposed he had been with them a day's journey, and they sought him among the kinfolks and acquaintance. When they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And came to pass 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of doctors, hearing them, asking questions. And they heard, were astonished at his understanding and answers. And notice this. He's in the temple. And the Bible says this little 12-year-old boy is listening and asking questions that are stumping the doctors. And they're then turning around asking him questions, and he's astonishing them with his answers. Where did he get that? Did that just come, by God? Or did God pick a favorite little girl that he knew treasured his word, that he knew had faith, that he knew believed his word. That a little mama, one of the first words a baby ever hears is a mama. When they asked Jesus one time, what's the greatest commandment of all? He said, thou shalt hear, O Israel, that the Lord thy God is one God, one Lord. And you'll love him with all your heart, your mind, your strength. And that's called the Shema. That was the first thing every Hebrew mama taught his little boy. And when he stood there that day and he was astonishing them, let me tell you where a lot of that came back from. God had picked the right mama for his little boy. At 12 years old, he's astonishing doctors of the law. And the Bible says that when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said, son, why have you dealt with us? And behold, your father and I have sought you sorrowing. And he said, how is it that you sought me? Did you not know I must be about my father's business? They didn't understand the saying which they spoke unto him. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And one translation says it this way. She treasured all these words in her heart. She knew. She treasured the word of God. She treasured it in her heart. She knew it. Let me tell you something. Luke chapter 2 says that this little girl was God's favorite. And the reason I believe God chose her was because he was about to bring into the world his word, which was his son. And he was to clothe this word with flesh and blood. And he picked a little girl that believed and trusted his word. And the Bible says when he was 12 years old, you see the outcome and the produce. You know, Romans 10:17 still says this. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word. Everybody say the word. Look at Colossians 3:16 says, let. Everybody say let. You know what that means? That means you have a choice this morning. You can let or you can not let. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You know what all that is? You ought to sing the word. You know, one of the things when we began a charismatic church many years ago, all of our songs were simply scripture songs. They just took scriptures and put them to music. Because we would sing them over and over. And we did that because we wanted to know the word of God. It had power. It is the gasoline that God's putting in my generator that's going to bring out power in my life. When he speaks a word to me and it goes in me, it's going to begin to be, how does power come? Power comes by hearing the word and the word doing a work inside you. It'll begin to change you. So the Bible says, let it dwell in you richly. You know, one of the things I learned, I got some machines. How many of you got the machines that just sit with the same gasoline in it year in, year out? Anybody got one of those? You know what I did? Well, I did it, and I had one of 2 or 3 years. We all went riding a few years ago on a four-wheeler, and I put some gasoline in that thing, and I left it, and I hadn't touched it in about a year, year and a half. Well, so I went in the store, and I saw this stuff called stable. You know, you put that stable in your gasoline. You know what I'm talking about? You follow me, you get my point. And so take stable. What I didn't know was I thought I just poured all that old gasoline and it magically revived that old gasoline. How many know old gasoline still stinks? I mean, no matter what you put in it, you gotta drain it. You know what you need? You need a daily word from God. You got an old word in you, but I read the Bible through back in 45. You've got an old word in you that no matter what you do, you need to hear a word from God today for you. You need it now. For the Spirit, you got to remember something. This, you know, John 14 says it this way. He said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. My Father will love him. He'll come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the words that you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. And that's not the right scripture. I wrote down the wrong scripture. I'll keep going. Let's see. These things have I spoken to you while I'm still with you. No, notice this one more. And when they bring you to trial, deliver you over. Do not be anxious beforehand what you're to say, but say whatever is given you in that hour, for it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit who speaks. Now, let me tell you what I've learned in life. In your life, the Holy Spirit will bring to remembrance things that you have read. Look at Mark. Look at this. It says, no, oh, go back. I'm sorry. Go back. Go back to Mark. And when they bring you to trial, deliver you. Don't be anxious, but what's given you in that hour. Here's what I've learned the Holy Spirit does. When you read the Word of God, when you store it and treasure it, in that moment, the Holy Spirit will bring to mind that which you have read. He searches your heart and he brings to remembrance that which you have feasted on and treasured on. Let's say that you got in a battle this morning. Let's say some demonic forces came against you this morning. And the Holy Spirit came into your life to search for the words that you have hidden in your heart that you've let dwell richly in you. And he began to search. What would he find this morning to fight the devil with? LSU 42, Georgia 10. No, that don't work. That won't do much good. Let's see. Come on, somebody. He starts searching in your heart for things to bring to remembrance. I'm not going to remind him about Georgia and LSU score. Let's see, Oklahoma. No, I'm not going to do that. The BCS National, I'm not going to even put that up. What would the Lord find in your heart this morning to bring up to your memory that you've treasured in your heart? Come on, everybody say amen, this Presbyterian church. Come on, everybody. She treasured these things in her heart. You know what? How do I know she treasured them in her heart? Look at this. Mary said, listen, when she went to see Elizabeth, do you know what Mary did? Mary began to sing a song. And here's what she sang. My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. He has looked on the humble estate of his servant. Behold, from now on till generations will call me blessed. He who is mighty has done great things to me. Holy is his name and his mercy. All and on. And she goes on for about four or five scriptures. We don't read it all. Do you know what that is? That is Old Testament book of Psalms. She quotes the Old Testament. You know why? Because she treasured the word in her heart. She had what was in her came out of her. Out of the abundance of the heart, her mouth spoke. When she was rejoicing, she began to sing and tell the word of God. You've got to come to the place. Listen, every one of us, these verses are quoted from the Old Testament. What comes out of you when the pressure is on? I always tell you this. You are like a sponge. When the pressure's on is what comes out of you. Oh, he just made me cuss. I'll never forget. We were back there one time. We had a snake pit. There was a pit back there and we drained the water. It was full of snakes. And I'll never forget this. We were out there with guns shooting snakes. And I remember one of them crawled up along the side and one guy was shooting. Next thing you knew, that snake had come around his leg. Come on, somebody. And when he looked down, he let out the biggest curse word you'd ever. I mean, just a string of cursing. I'm standing right beside him. Somebody ought to say something. Come on, somebody. You know, it's when the pressure's on is when what's inside of you really comes out. And what's inside of her was she was full of the word of God. Look what 1 John 2:14 says. I write to you, fathers, you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men. Because you're strong and what? And the word abides in you and you've overcome the evil one. You know what? When that word comes in your womb, it produces power. What's power for? Power is for work. What's another word for work? Resistance against an object. It gives you the power to do what you could not do on your own. And if you're weak today, one of the reasons is because you're lacking it. Look what Proverbs says. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. You got to know what comes out your mouth all day long is either producing death or is producing life. And the Bible says, the words that I speak unto you, they are life. The words that the Lord gives us are life. If you want life, if you want life, if you want true life, get the words of life inside of you, and out of your abundance will come the word of life. Instead of speaking curses and all, you begin to speak life. Listen what 2 Corinthians says. Since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what has been written, I believed, so I speak. We also believe, and so we also speak. When you're like Mary, she stood there and she could have been mum, but she said, let it be unto me according to your word. Next scripture, watch this. But what does it say? The word is near you, even in your mouth, your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus, everybody say confess. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth, Your mouth is important. Mary's mouth was important. The Bible says that John, who was Elizabeth's husband, John the Baptist. Well, help me, somebody. What? Zechariah. When Zechariah, John's father, was told that his wife was going to have a baby, out of his mouth came disbelief. And you know what the Bible says the angels did? We're going to zip that right there. You're not going to talk again until the baby's born. Come on, somebody. Sometimes God has to shut our mouths so that we don't speak our ways out of a miracle. And the Bible says it wasn't until the baby was born that his mouth opened back up. And then he began, read what he did. He began to speak Old Testament scriptures, came out of his heart. Well, I'm excited. Because if you confess with your mouth, heart, that God raised him, then you'll be saved. For with the heart you believe and it justified, but with the mouth. Everybody say mouth. Look at somebody say, you got a big mouth. Look at somebody say, you got a big mouth. Would you say somebody, you got a big mouth? With the mouth, one confesses and is saved. Let me tell you how powerful the word is. Many years ago, China opened up. And many of the organizations around the world sent workers into China to evangelize. And you know what they found? They found an amazing thing that literally just amazed them. They had found that many Bibles had been smuggled into China. But you know, 20 out of every 100 people in the world live in China. It's the, you know, humongous. Is that right? 20%. And so what happened was this. When Bibles were smuggled in, it's so humongous a country that they had literally done this with the Bibles. They had taken the Bibles and they had cut them up. And then that wasn't even enough to where everybody get a page. They began to cut them up into different scriptures and give them out like that. Do you know what they found? They found churches that had been established for 20 and 30 years. And all that church had was one scripture. And they had lived on that one scripture for 30 years. You don't believe Washington Carver could look at a little peanut and get one discovery after another? Can I tell you something about the Word of God? You'll never plumb its depth. You'll get a revelation that you didn't get last year reading the same story you read for 30 years. You'll read it, and these churches had read that one scripture and got revelation after revelation after revelation. Come on, give him a great clap on. I'm going to tell you, God can do the impossible. God can do the impossible. And one of the great stories that I enjoy reading is another little lady that had the issue. Remember the woman with the issue of blood? Mark chapter 5, because she was a woman of faith like Mary was. And there was a woman who had had a discharge of blood for 12 years. And she'd suffered much under many, many physicians. And had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. Now, let me just say a few words here. She suffered not only from the loss of blood, but she suffered from the treatments. You know, back in those days, they had some pretty tough treatments. You remember back when they used to, use electricity and all this and that. How many of you know sometimes a treatment is worse than the disease? Have you found that to be true? How many has ever watched a commercial on TV for something? And in a 60-second commercial, 20 seconds is telling you what it's going to do for you. And 40 seconds is telling you what it's going to do to you. Come on, somebody. Have you seen those things? Depression. It will remove all your depression. It'll 20 seconds. Then he says, boom. It will turn your hair blue. It will make you impotent. It will make your toes curl. It will make you die. And it will probably give you a heart attack. And so take our product. Come on, somebody. You ever notice that? And this woman had suffered under many physicians. And not beyond that, she had spent everything she had. And there was absolutely nothing left. On and on. And verse 26 says this. She heard the reports about Jesus. How many are glad you heard about Jesus? Where would you be if you had not heard about Jesus? Where would you be this morning if you never heard about Jesus? If you never heard about it, where would you be? She heard reports about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment because she said, everybody say she said. Somewhere she said this, if I touch even his garments, I'll be made well. She had heard the reports, like you and I read the reports in the Gospels of what he did. She'd never seen him. As far as we know, she'd never been in a crowd. She just heard about it. She'd never been there in a meeting and saw it, actually. She just heard about it. She'd heard other people talk. She'd heard, just like you and I read, that we weren't there, but we read the reports of what he did. She just heard of it. She just heard about it. And something inside her, when she heard the stories of Jesus, clicked. And that which was wishful thinking became that she heard the word, she heard the reports, it went into her generator, and it was transformed into power. She said with her voice, if I can even touch him, I know I'll be made well. If I can, and the Bible says she began, listen, she said, if I can just touch him. And verse 27 says this. She said, if I can touch him, I'll be made well. Immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she, everybody say felt. How many know the old saying, it's better felt than telt? She felt something. That's when your goosebumps have goosebumps. Come on, somebody. That's when she felt within her body. She felt in her body that she was healed of the disease. She felt in her body. Look at verse 29. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease. Now, after 12 years of going to horrible treatments, the woman felt that she was healed. And, you know, one of the keys is she had an issue of blood. And that was probably one of the worst things to have in that day because it made her unclean ceremonially. And she couldn't be in a crowd. She was not supposed to touch anybody. She'd make them unclean. And the Bible says not only that she had tried best she could, one physician after another, and had suffered. Can you imagine the things they did to this poor woman? And then they charged her for it. And she not only was suffering physically, she was out of money because she had spent every penny she had on physicians. But she's about to hear a report. And she's about to receive it in such a way that she believed. And she said, if I can just touch his garments, a miracle can happen inside of me. Just like Mary. And so the Bible says, when she made it, Jesus touched her. And she, listen, but she was miserable. She was absolutely penniless. How many of you can be miserable? But she was a believer. How many know you can be washed in the blood, love Jesus with all your heart, and yet be busted and disgusted? Come on, somebody. You can be, you have your smile on your face, come to church, say hallelujah. But I'm going to tell you something. You've got to learn how to get the word of God deep within your heart to get to a place to where you begin to believe like Mary did. And then what happens is the favor of God comes upon your life. I don't care what your situation is. I don't care how old or how young you are. God can do it. In Mark chapter 5, she said, you've got to give expression to your faith. She said, if I can but touch. You've got to learn this morning. You're not a fretting soul. You're a speaking spirit. You've got to learn how to speak from your spirit and conquer your mind. You got to get your soul like a winged child, weaned from the things of this world. And you got to learn how to bring the word of God in your heart to where you do like Mary. When the angel comes, she'd already stored the Old Testament in her life. And when the angel said it, she was unlike Zacharias. She said, absolutely. She said, I believe, let it be unto me according to your word. And the Bible says it went into that generator and it produced a son. Listen, you've got to learn. You've got to say this with your heart. I've learned this. When I go to California, we at Christmas time will be out there. My mother-in-law is the typical Armenian / Jewish mother-in-law. You know how they ask you if you want some of this? They ask you that as the spoon is heading toward your plate and they're going to dump it out on you. You want some of this? And there's this thing they eat called tabbouleh. I have many like tabbouleh. You know what tabbouleh is? Tabbouleh is grass. That's what it's just grass from the yard. And they bring it in and they put some vinegar or something on it. And she tries to pretend it's parsley, but I know it's grass. It is absolutely grass. And they asked me, do you want some of this? And it don't take me no time. No, I don't want any tabbouleh. You can have it. I don't want any of it. And you know what I've learned to do in life? When the devil comes to me and asks me if I want some doubt, you know what I say? I don't want any. Thank you. I don't want any. You know what you got to learn to do? You know, sometimes we receive our doubt so easily that we never refute it. We never say no. You've got to learn how to doubt your doubt sometimes. Let me say it that way. Hey, let me give you the, here's the best way to watch this. In John 1, here's a Message translation. And the word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. I remember growing up, and when a certain group would move in our neighborhood, they'd tell me, there goes the neighborhood. There goes the neighborhood. And you know what the best thing to happen in your life? It's fear and doubt and lust and anger and all that stuff that live in your neighborhood. You got to let the word of God move into your neighborhood. And hear them say, oops, there goes the neighborhood. You ought to let the word of God move into your neighborhood. Let it move into your life. Let the word of God become flesh. And the Bible says it became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. You need to let the word. Proverbs 3:5 says it this way. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean to your own. You know, if you're leaning on something, that means you're leaning away from something else. You follow me? If you're not leaning on your own understanding, which Mary didn't, then that means you're leaning toward the word of God. So when it says, don't lean toward your understanding, lean toward the word of God. And so stop trying to be balanced all the time to where it's literally, you just got to be, you know, you want to appear proper in front of everybody. The Bible says the unspiritual man does not receive the things of the spirit. And there are some things that you don't lay out before the world, but there comes times when you got to stop leaning to your own understanding and start leaning on the word that you consume to put in your heart. You got to let the word move into your neighborhood. You got to open up your heart and say, okay, Lord, come on into the neighborhood. Everybody say amen this morning, would you? Come on, I want the musicians to come on up this morning. Let me say this. Faith has to have context. Faith, and let me say what that means. Faith, literally, God brings us in situations where faith has a context. What's the best way to say it? This woman that had the issue of blood, she was at the place where she was literally at the end. There was no plan B. She had the issue of blood. For 12 years, she'd suffered from doctors. 12 years of spending on experimental one thing after another had literally depleted every bit of money she had. She had no family. She had no friends. She had no relations. She'd come to the end. There was no more. Did you hear any other procedures I can try? No other procedures. Doesn't matter. I don't have any more money. You know what? She was at the bottom. There was no more plan B. You know, people ask me sometimes, what do you think God's going to do something for that person? I said, I don't know. I don't think they're at the bottom yet. They still have plan B. In case this falls, here's plan B. It's like going to a circus and you see some of these tightrope walkers. You know, and you watch them, and then they have that big net. How many? I would walk it if there was a big net under there. But how about walking across Niagara Falls or being on a tightrope in a circus and there's no net to catch you? See, we always have our safety net down there to catch us in case we fall. She had no plan B. And I look at people and I said, they look pretty miserable. I said, they look miserable, but I don't think they're ripe yet. Oh, I know they smell bad, they look bad, but there's still a plan B. You know what God does? The context. And I feel like a word from the Lord for somebody. The context sometimes is God brings you to where there's no plan B left. We tried everything we knew to try. There's nothing left to try. There's nothing left to do. We don't know what else to do. We're simply out of it. And what happens is many times it gets worse before it gets better. And it did for this young lady. And God will bring you to the place where literally He'll begin to deal with you. But listen to this. When God brings you to that level, you think it's low, but it's really high. Because Ephesians 3 says it this way. It says, now to Him who's able to do far more abundantly that we ask or what? That's your mind. That's where your mind is. Now to Him that is able to do abundantly above all that we ask or think. That's when you get, listen, don't complain about the altitude when God brings you up to a new level. I preached a lot of places around the world. Johannesburg is a, you don't know it, but it's a big plateau in California, Colorado. Many times when I go preach, the altitude is very high. And when I'm walking up and down steps, you lose your breath. And man, I complain sometimes. I can't breathe and on and on. And sometimes when God brings you to a new level in Him, there's a little bit of, there's some adjustments that have to be made. So don't complain when God brings you to a new level in you. I want you to close your eyes this morning. I want to ask you, you know, listen, have you allowed the Word to move into your neighborhood? The reason the Word that was with God and was from the beginning and was God, and when it was born and brought in flesh and blood, God looked around the earth and He picked a little girl who had treasured the Word in her heart. And she had full of the Old Testament. She was full of the Word of God. And you could see it, and that's who He entrusted His Word with, to be made flesh and blood. And this morning we're entering into a season of Christmas, and with all the busyness, never ever let the Word of God or the things of God take a back seat. It's somehow, well, you know, He'll understand because we're busy this time of season. When it's His birthday, when the whole thing's about Him. If anything, this ought to be a season when you say, okay, I'm going to double up on prayer. I'm going to double up on reading. I'm going to double up on seeking Him. I'm going to double up on going for Him. Because this belongs to Him. It's about Him. I'm not going to buy into the things of this world and the ways of this world. This is His season. So won't you do this? Even when your mind doesn't receive, even when your mind or soul, your will, your emotions doesn't like reading, you're not feeding them only. You're feeding your spirit. And your spirit man is gobbling it up. When you read the Word and memorize it and personalize it, your spirit man is gobbling it up. You know why? Because it's your spirit man is your womb. And that's the generator of your life. And some of you got some old gasoline in your generator. It needs to be drained out. And the daily gas, it needs a daily touch. You need to be filled up with fresh gas this morning. And the generator of your heart is called your spirit man. And when that comes in, what's going to happen is that's going to produce the power. It's going to come out of you. You're going to see acts of power. You're going to see things produced. You're going to see power coming out of you this morning. And God wants to do that in your life this morning. He wants you to, because He wants you to be like Mary. Be it unto me according to, when God says something and impresses, it's going to be above what you ask and it's going to be above what you think. And above that, you're not going to give in to your mind and lean to your understanding and say, well, that can't be. But when it said it and God brings abundantly above all you ask or think, you're leaning on the Word, not on your own understanding. And so you're going to say like Mary did, let it be unto me according to your Word. And you're going to hear the power of the generator of your spirit. And that Word that's deposited in you will be brought out in power through your life. It's going to be a great Christmas this year. It's going to be a right kind of Christmas this year. You're going to produce what is going to be fruit that's going to last and remain, not presents that's going to be broken and thrown away within a few years. You're going to be producing fruit that remains. And so, Father, this morning I ask you by the power of the Holy Spirit that you, Lord, this season would deposit in our hearts as we read, that you would speak to our hearts a fresh word, that we would have fresh fuel within us, and that we would be strong in faith and let the word abide richly in us, and we would treasure it as Mary did. And Lord, I pray, even as Jesus was born, the firstborn son of Mary, the word is still being deposited into the wombs of men and women now. And out of it is being brought forth life, life, life. I want everybody to stand up this morning, would you? I want you to stand up and I want you to do this. If you're full of old gas, if you're just full of old fuel and you stink, you can open up a gas cap and you can smell and, oh man, that stinks. I never knew gasoline. But I was taught something the last few weeks. And I've learned this. If I took the cap off you, off your spirit and smelled the word, the word's been there for 22 years, and it's just, and it's gotten old. You ought to just empty yourself. You know, one of the best ways to do it, now close your eyes, listen to me. One of the best ways to do that is go get you a different translation. Get you a valid one, but get you a different translation. You ought to see my Bible. I got every little thing written everywhere, and sometimes that can become old fuel. You know what? One of the best things you ought to get and receive this Christmas is a new Bible. I'm going to give me a new pot, and start out to where things are different. You just got to be, and I'm going to tell you, that'll help. And so the season is the Lord wants to do a work in you to where you become like Mary and you become a favored one when God comes and he wants to do something on the earth. He wants to bring something alive in the earth. He'll look, his eyes will run to and fro and he'll find you. And you'll say, he'll say as he did of Mary, you're my favorite one. I'm going to deposit in you something. I don't care how old you are or how young you are. I don't care how long you've been with the Lord or how short you've been with the Lord. The Lord wants to bring forth life into this earth. And if you'll allow the word to be moved into your neighborhood, God will do great things in your life. Father, in the name of Jesus this morning, I ask you, Lord, for your word to be alive and that it would be sharper than any two-edged sword. It would pierce asunder. It would come within. And Lord, it would come forth and it would send it and it would accomplish that which you sent it to do. We ask you in the name of Jesus. Everybody said a good amen today, would you? Hey, give a good clap offering one more time, would you? Come on. Turn around, hug somebody. God bless you. We'll see you next Sunday morning.